This is In My Opinion with your host, Ray Dosky.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of In My Opinion. I am your host, Ray Dosky, here at National Sports Radio. So happy you could join me today. Week one is in the rearview mirror. We're on to week two. What a crazy, crazy game Monday night was. What a great inning to cap off the kickoff of the NFL season between the Baltimore Ravens and the Las Vegas Raiders. What a great game. To go into overtime, Derek Carr throwing the winning touchdown to seal the game, to get them started 1-0 on the season, and having the Baltimore Ravens going back home and thinking, okay, what are we going to do now? Because our running back situation is all over the place. Now, we all know that Lamar Jackson is your QB1, RB1, RB2, your jacker. He does everything, right? But Tyson Williams did a great job in the first half. He exploded, had a 45-yard run touchdown in the first half of the game. In the second half, they decided to go away from the run. Lamar Jackson started running off, started throwing the ball a little bit more. Then all of a sudden, it just decided to become an air assault. Now we're just throwing the ball everywhere, both on the Raiders and Vegas and the Ravens side. It was just crazy. But I'm sure all you fans like myself really enjoyed that game. I was really excited about it. But now we are on to week two. Today I'll be talking about my predictions this weekend coming up for week two. Games I like, teams I like, they're going to win this weekend. Also, I'll be talking about some fantasy football, talking about some of my starts, sits, sleepers, if you will. So much to unpack. And, you know, I was looking over the list over the past weekend, and I noticed that 8 teams from last year's playoff went 0-1. That's your Green Bay Packers, your Baltimore Ravens, your Tennessee Titans, Indianapolis Colts, the Bills, the Browns, the Washington football team, and Chicago. And I kept asking myself, who's going to have a big bounce back this weekend? Obviously, it's the Cleveland Browns, right? They've got the Houston Texans, who, by the way, have the number one offense in the NFL. Oh, my. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, guys. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars, it's just, in terms of a team, and every, it's just a rookie through and through the team. From head coach to the quarterback, it's just a young team. It was expected. This week, Texans, it's a big test for you. You're going against a very tough Browns defense who's going to be pissed because of the loss to the Kansas City Chiefs, who I will talk about later. I'm going to give you a little recap of like what my thoughts were for week one. But if I had to have guessed any team that's going to have a big bounce back this week, of course, it'd be the Cleveland Browns. It's the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers, they just did not show up on Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. They looked flat. They looked unenergetic. No one was really going. I was looking at the team. I was looking around the sidelines during, you know, throughout the game to see like what leadership is going to stand up and say like, let's go, let's get our grind going. Kind of like the Tennessee Titans, who also laid an egg against the Arizona Cardinals. Then Aaron Rodgers came out and he taught him Pat McAfee's podcast on YouTube about how he's not worried about what's going on. He said, we're going to write this ship right. And I'm expecting you to, because guess what, guys? Aaron Rodgers went, this Green Bay Packers organization went through an offseason where A-Rod, he wanted to play, but didn't want to play, wanted changes, felt like he wasn't getting heard, was thinking about, you know what, just trade me. And there was, at one point, many, like myself, not only as a radio podcast or whatever you want to call myself, as a legitimate fan, thought that he was going to be traded, most likely to the Denver Broncos, who are still interested today to trade for Aaron Rodgers. But they were able to mend fences, say, let's go ahead and let's get this going. And they went and tweeted out him and Davante Adams, the last dance on their Twitter. Well, guess what? If we're going to talk about last dance, I remember the last dance in that last year for the Bulls didn't get off to a great start, much like the Green Bay Packers. Because the Green Bay Packers know they can turn on when they need to, right? They're not really in a really difficult division. I mean, they can win this division. I mean, who are they looking as a threat? The Detroit Lions? No. The Minnesota Vikings? No. They look good until about probably the third quarter against the Bengals, and they laid an egg and lost to the Bengals. Then you got the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears, we saw what they did. did not look as threatening as Andy Dalton as your quarterback. You had Justin Fields kind of running for a touchdown. So now you got that dual quarterback situation going on right now. We're trying to play a little bit of Fields. You got a couple packages. They're trying to see where he can feel, get his legs wet a little bit in the whole NFL, you know, professional space, if you will. But of those three teams, none of them are threatening. So we all know Green Bay is going to win the division. Let's not kid ourselves here. But Aaron Rodgers going to Detroit this week, that's a great bounce back game. Aaron Rodgers is owned Detroit, and he's gonna do it again this week. And granted, Detroit took the 49ers to the wire. They were at one point, they were down 31-10. And miraculously came back and almost took this game into overtime with less than a minute left. But fell short. 49ers went on to win the game. And I like this whole Detroit Lions team. They're fun to watch. That was kind of fun to watch. With that two-headed running back monster back there between Swift and Williams, they looked great. Jared Goff looked a lot better than I thought. TJ Hockenson, stellar. And I think they might cause some problems to the Green Bay Packers, but I think the Green Bay Packers are going to come out with a chip on their shoulder. They're going to be pissed, and they're going to basically just take it out on the Detroit Lions. Unfortunately, guys, I'm sorry. So I'm expecting them to be a bounce back game. The Titans, on the other hand, boy, I don't know what to say about you guys. I mean, you guys really just surprised the heck out of me because you guys look good in the preseason. I was like, oh, these guys are ready to play. I know that Julio Jones has been in and out of like training camp. He's been on the side, working with trainers. He hasn't really been 100%. And then he comes out and lackluster. Well, let's be real here. The entire Tennessee Titans team was lackluster against the Arizona Cardinals. And I like the Arizona Cardinals. I thought in terms of talent, they're loaded, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But I just know how good they were because I'm thinking to myself, either the Arizona Cardinals are really that good because Murray looked awesome. I mean, he did that like that. That step away 3-point shot, touchdown pass. I was like, wow, not many quarterbacks can do that. And here Murray just did it like it was nothing. Murray's just electrifying. He's just fun to watch. But I'm thinking to myself, are they really that good? Or did the Titans just really have a bad game? Because collectively, from offense, offensive line, defense, collectively, the Titans sucked that day. They sucked. And Ryan Tannehill came out today and talked about how, you know, he came on his press conference. So he talked about, oh, we got punched in the stomach. But there was no, like, urgency. Like, get going. We need to get going. We need to forget about the plays that happened, you know, probably because we can't do anything about it. We need to push forward. And that's what this is all about. The NFL games, possession by possession. You need to have short-term memory. If you had a bad possession, all right, great. Forget it. It's over. It's over. You can't do anything. You have no control over that. Move on. New position, new possession. You just start fresh. Whether you're down by 7 points or 27 points, one yard at a time, guys. Chip away slowly. We've seen this done. We saw the 49ers in the Lions game. The Lions did the same thing to the 49ers. And we all think and know that the 49ers are an infinite better team than the Niners. I mean, the Lions. They're a far better team than the Lions. But the Lions were able to crawl back into that game. Chipping away little by little to get back in. To a point to the last minute, they almost had a chance to win. The Titans could have done the same thing. They were dealing with the same deficit. But they showed no urgency. I was waiting for the leadership. Like they just looked defeated. Like I even saw Derrick Henry on the side of the sidelines. He looked so pissed, like he was about to hurt somebody because he was so mad. Because they know they could play better. They know they're better because there's a lot of expectations for this team. There's a lot of expectations. They're supposed to be one of the top four or five best teams in the AFC. Possibly a Super Bowl contender. They're in that conversation. But I just don't know. They're going up to Seattle now, who just slobber-knocked the Indianapolis Colts. Russell Wilson looked great again, like he always does at the beginning of the season. Now you hear him chatting to, like, possibly, is this his year of winning the MVP? Maybe, maybe not. We'll see what happens because he did the same thing last year when they went 5-0 and he was throwing God-crazy numbers. But he looked comfortable in that offense. And now you get a young, energetic, hot Seattle team against a Titans team who really needs to kind of rebuild that confidence after being beaten so bad by the Arizona Cardinals. I don't know. I really don't think they're going to win this week against the Seahawks because they have to go to Seattle. I mean, that's just the 12th man and everything. I just don't see them winning. I don't. And let's be real here. The AFC South, not very threatening. I mean, they could still pull out the whole win. Because they could still win the division. I mean, the Texans, who, by the way, is 1-0, the only 1-0 team in the AFC South. And you've got the Colts, who Wentz kind of looked wincy. I mean, he looked the way he's always looked. I mean, he's just trying to figure things out. I mean, he has no true number one wide receiver. He's trying to figure things out. He was in and out of training camp with a foot injury, and they had COVID. So he's still trying to get himself collectively together to kind of, you know, get into that football shape, if you will. And then we also have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who at this point, Urban Meyer's, you know, being questioned if he's going to take the USC job. We don't know where he's at. And he's talking about he's building an organization. Well, yeah, you're not there yet. He just doesn't look like he's that, like, confident enough to write that ship. But we'll see. The season's still young. It's only been one game. But if you look on towards the next week, I'm going to give you some of my predictions, okay? I got a lot of predictions I want to talk about this week. And we're going to talk about who some teams I like and some teams I, you know, I'm just kind of like, you got to watch out here for. You know, let's first talk about, let's talk about the Washington game first. Washington football team goes against the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football, right? They just lost Fitzpatrick, which I don't, good or bad, I'm indifferent because I really thought that Fitzpatrick was never the answer in Washington anyways. So Taylor Heinicke comes in, he gets a starting role. I like Taylor Heinicke in that starting role. I think he knows the system better than Fitzpatrick. He's got chemistry with those wide receivers. He just looks like he's more in control and command of that offense than Fitzpatrick. When Fitzpatrick was playing in the preseason, he would miss these receivers by like 4 or 5 yards. Overthrow, underthrow, just was never in sync with them. Plus, I like the fact that Taylor Heinicke does make plays with his feet. So I think that's going to cause some fits with the Giants. But the only problem is that the New York Giants have won the last 5 against the Washington football team. Because whoever Daniel Jones plays sucks, unless it's the Washington football team. He's always great against my Washington football team. Has yet to lose to him. If he played them every game, every week, he'd be 17-0. But winning streaks are meant to be broken, and I've got them winning. I got Washington winning this week in a 21-17 nail-biter. I think the defense is going to show up. I think they're going to play better. I think Taylor Heinicke is going to energize that offense. He's going to ignite them and get them going. I'm really confident in that. So I'm going Washington over the Giants, 21-17. Then let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and the Bears. Boy, the Bengals look good. Ja'Marr Chase looked awesome. I guess all those like drops and not being able to see the spiral of the football because they have that white stripe on there was a thing of the past. Guy tore it up against Minnesota. Tore it up. Humble kid. Got a chip on his shoulder. But he's got confidence. And I like that. I like Ja'Marr Chase. But how long can the Bears stay with Andy Dalton until this really blows up? I mean, he looked horrible against the LA Rams. I mean, he just did not do anything. I mean, the only positive thing that you saw in the Rams Bears game was David Montgomery. So I don't know how long the Bears are going to last with him. Now you're going against Cincinnati Bengals, who I like, who's playing hot. They've got a little confidence. They came back to win and beat Minnesota. So I'm going with Cincinnati Bengals 24-17 over the Bears. I think the Bengals, and I know the Bears are at home, but I think the Bengals, they have a better offense. They got a better quarterback. Regardless if you put Justin Fields or you put Andy Dalton, I think they have the better of the quarterback of the two teams, and they got a better defense. So I'm going to go with the Bengals here. Then let's move forward, and let's go down to the Houston Texans and, like I said, Cleveland Browns. So do I really need to talk about this? I mean, the Houston Texans, I mean, they're a 12-point underdog, I guess, the Cleveland Browns. I mean, this is going to be a tough one for the Texans, and I wish you well, Tyra Taylor. I know that everything that you've gone through your career has prepared you for the moment that you are now. Well, we also know in your career that you've dealt with some bad losses, and looks like I think Cleveland is going to give you a bad one too. So I'm going to go Browns 31, Texans 14 in this game. Then we have the next up. Let's talk about the Los Angeles Rams and the Indianapolis Colts. Matthew Stafford looked awesome. He looked what I thought he was going to look like, as advertised. Threw the ball, looked outstanding. Outstanding. And now who he goes up against? A Colts bad secondary. Oh, boy. I mean, we just saw what Russell Wilson did to the Colts last week. 4 touchdowns, 300-plus yards. Just had his way against the Indianapolis Colts secondary. And guess what? Matthew Stafford will also have his way against this Colts defensive backfield. And let's not forget. And the biggest matchup I'm looking towards is that Quentin Nelson versus Aaron Donald. That's going to be a great matchup. Because Quentin Nelson will probably get his biggest test of his NFL career going against one of the, if not the best, defensive tackle in the NFL in Aaron Donald. I cannot wait to see that matchup. But if I had to go with a pick, I'm going with Rams 28. I'm going to go Colts 17. Oh, Buffalo. You had it in the bag, guys. You had it in the bag. You were up on the Steelers. You've always played the Steelers tough. You beat them last year. And then you just gave it out at the end this year. This week one. Steelers went on to win. And I think Buffalo's pissed about that. And they're going to go against a Miami Dolphins team. But let's not forget, the Bills have won the last five against Miami. So I'm excited to see what this matchup looks like. I want to see if there's a true bounce back for Josh Allen. I think he gets back on track this week because it's a big one for him. It's going to be a close game. I'm thinking more or less a 24-20 Bills victory. It's going to be a close game. 3 to 4 points roughly. But I think Bills bounce back from last week's loss. They're going to ride the ship. They're going to get Diggs involved. They're going to get their running back involved. They're going to go and get that W against Miami. Then you got the Patriots and Mac Jones, who lost last week to the Miami Dolphins. Mac Jones looked good, though. He looked solid. But you get two rookie quarterbacks going head-to-head this week. Two top 15 quarterbacks from the 2021 draft and Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looked pretty good. At first he was a little rough against the Carolina Panthers, but then he started to get it together at the end. He started getting a little together. He started getting more or less comfortable with it. But the problem is that you're going to go against a tougher defense in the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick, his records against rookie quarterbacks is like crazy. I don't think he's ever lost to a rookie quarterback. So I'm looking forward to that. I know that, you know, New England's won five straight against the Jets. I think that continues. It's going to be six straight. Give me Patriots 24-17 against the Jets and a rookie-on-rookie quarterback. I think that Wilson will struggle. It'll be very tough for him to kind of get going. But I'm taking the Patriots here. And Mac Jones gets his first victory, his first NFL starting win of his career. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers against the Eagles. That's right. Eagle, as in the Eagle Eye, is 1-0 in the NFC East over Washington. Cowboys, and that's right, the Giants. Don't get me, I'm not going to, you've heard pundits in the media talking about like, oh, are the Eagles the favorites now? Are we getting ahead of ourselves and say the Eagles are favorites to win the division? No, they're not. You guys played against the Falcons, guys. The other three NFC teams played teams harder than who you played against. The Chargers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Denver Broncos are better than the Atlanta Falcons. So I don't want to hear it, Eagle fans. Eagles are not going to win the division. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And some are even thinking that the San Francisco 49ers are going to get upset from the Eagles. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I don't care if it's at Philadelphia. The Lions are around 3.5. I'm not taking it. Jalen Hurts looked good in the game against the Falcons, but this is the 49ers. They're going to run over them. I know they've been depleted. Losing Mostert for the year was a big hurt. But the Elijah Mitchell, I guess, surgence, if you will. I'm trying to find a word to think about. Like, his surgence came in and just blew it up. Brandon Ayuk, you need to figure things out, guys. You need to figure it out quick. You're in the doghouse. You've got a ton of talent. Learn to be a pro. Get in the coach's good side and get back in that starting lineup because you're a true talent. Debo Samuel, doing this thing. George Kittle, yeah, come on. Do I really need to think about that? But I'm going to go with the Eagles here. With the 49ers here. They're going to win. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to go with Jimmy G and the 49ers 27-24 over the Eagles. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders. Are they playoff hopefuls? Derek Carr, number one passer in the NFL right now. That's right. Boy blew up last week against the Baltimore Ravens. Blew up. Where are you going against the Pittsburgh Steelers who just shut down Josh Allen and the Buffalo team, who's a far better, superior team to you guys? And plus, the Raiders playing on a short week. I don't see them faring out as well against the Steelers because I think the Steelers' defense will stifle Derek Carr. Jacobs is not healthy. He's dealing with a foot injury. All you have is Darryl Waller. Well, guess what? The Steelers have Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they're going to basically pony. They're going to suffocate him there. So I'm going to go with the Steelers, and we'll do enough on the offense because they're going to blow up. Just start everybody on that offensive side. Juju, Deontay, even Claypool at the flex. Start them all. Najee Harris is going to be your number one, probably your top five running back for fantasy this week as well. And I'm going to give the Steelers to move on 2-0 over the Las Vegas Raiders 23-17. Then we got the New York Saints with a new and improved Jameis Winston. Oh, boy. Watch out now. Going against the Carolina Panthers. He looked really impressive beating those Packers. The Saints itself looked, and that goes back, they looked impressive, yes. But let's not get carried away here with Winston. He threw for less than 200 yards and threw five touchdowns. There was a couple turnovers, costly turnovers, that was caused by the Packers because they were not in sync the entire game because of just all of the offseason and drama that it just kind of carried over into the regular season. It looks like that was just a bad game for the Packers, and they just need to move on and get that bad game like out of the way, and then they could go playing back Packers football. But the Saints caught them at the right time. But the defense on the Saints side, very solid, and they're going to give Sam Darnold fits. Really, 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 really tough game for that Carolina Panthers team. I'm going to go with the Saints here and give Winston going 2-0 against the Panthers, 24-14 over the Carolina Panthers. Then we got the Denver Broncos going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Most I might say more. I know Jerry Jeudy has been lost for a little while for a high ankle sprain. He'll be fine. They've got more than applicable receivers. Tim Patrick, you could plug him into fantasy. KJ Hamler has got more of the high upside. You could plug him at the flex. Denver Broncos and that stifling defense is going to crush Trevor Lawrence and that Jacksonville Jaguars offense. They're just going to stifle them. It's going to be a hard run game. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is going to have fun. So I'm thinking it's going to be 31-13. Broncos over Jaguars in week two. Then we got the Minnesota Vikings against Arizona Cardinals. Two prolific good offenses, if you really think about it. Minnesota boasts one great offense with Dalvin Cook and Jefferson and Thielen, who actually had a great game last week, with Kirk Cousins, who's, you know, affordable, you know, always starts off the season strong. Then you look at the Arizona Cardinals. We saw what they did to the Tennessee Titans. They completely destroyed them. But since it's at home, and I like what Arizona's doing, they look better on defense than the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, did we not see what Jones did to the Titans last week? Oh, God, five sacks. I mean, he just completely destroyed that offensive line last week. So I'm going to give the nod to Arizona because I feel like they're just playing on all cylinders. I'm going to be behind them, and I say they're going to win 31-20 over the Minnesota Vikings. Then we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going against the Atlanta Falcons. The Buccaneers look like they've not lost a beat. Tom Brady, the trio of wide receivers, the running backs need to kind of get their head back into the football, to playing good football instead of turning over the ball. They need to determine who's going to be the running back over in Tampa Bay, if it's going to be Jones or if it's going to be Leonard Fournette. But for the most part, as long as you have Tom Brady and Gronk and that trio of wide receivers, you guys are good. And then you have your 11 returning starters on the defensive side. Just there's no question. I just give me the Buccaneers over the Falcons, 34-14 over the Falcons. And then a game that I'm really excited to see is this Dallas Cowboys versus the LA Chargers. Wow, what a game. Hibbert looks awesome. He looked great against my Washington football team, who boasts one of the best defenses in the NFL. And threw for over 300 yards, passed that will, was never stifled, looked like he was not in any fear of any sacks. I mean, Slater looked awesome at the left tackle position. Kind of kept, you know, I can't remember the edge rusher's name. But you know who I'm talking about. That defensive line in check. Chase Young, that was his name. God, I had a brain fart there. He looked great last week. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. It might be a close game, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I mean, it'll go over in the 50s for sure. But I'm really ready to see this chess match between Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott. And this shootout's going to be fun. But the Chargers will need to make plays late to seal the win. And they also got some good news because now, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is out for 6 to 8 weeks because of a broken foot. So now that defensive side of the Dallas Cowboys just took one more hit. I don't know how many more hits you can take on, especially on that defensive line, because I mean, Lawrence. I don't know. I feel like he's kind of fallen off the cliff a little bit. Like, he was doing great. He had that one year where he was just awesome, just unblockable. Then he got the contract, and he's just kind of been, like, in and out injuries and not really living up to that contract. And, of course, he dealt with the injury. You know, he now has a broken leg. He's out to 6 to 8 weeks. It's a tough blow for the Cowboys. So I'm going to give my nod to the Chargers, 34-31 over the Cowboys, in what should be an excellent shootout. Then we got the Tennessee Titans against the Seahawks. I've got the Seahawks. I'm not even going to go into the Titans. I hope they show up and they really put on a show, because they really need it, because they cannot go down 0-2 with the next coming games coming up. Their next 5 to 7 game stretch is brutal. It's brutal. They can go 1-5 or 2-4 in the next 5 to 6 games, in the 6-game stretch. They cannot afford that at all. And I know they're better than what they showed last week. I know they are. They just need to get in sync. Maybe they come back out and they've got a chip on their shoulder and they're pissed off and they decide they're going to punch the Seahawks in the mouth, but I just don't see it. Maybe it was at home. Maybe there's a chance. Kind of like with the Cleveland Browns and the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, they have a, you know, and I wanted to talk about this earlier. Like, I really feel like the Cleveland Browns can compete against the Kansas City Chiefs, who's my next game I want to talk about in a few minutes right now. Oh, let me give my prediction first. I'm going to go Seahawks 31. And the Titans 27. Okay, so let's do that. But the next thing I'm going to talk about is the Kansas City Chiefs and Baltimore Ravens. Of all the AFC teams that I feel like can compete and beat the Chiefs, is the Cleveland Browns. The only problem is the Cleveland Browns, they don't believe in themselves that they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I think they can beat them. The only problem is they can't beat them in Arrowhead. They were neck and neck with them. They controlled for 3 quarters. They had that game, just like they did in the playoffs last year. It's just that they just can't come away with big plays. That Baker Mayfield interception late in the third, fourth quarter, whatever, when he was kind of like just launching it towards the sideline and got picked off, you can't make plays like that. You can't do that. You can't, especially against the Kansas City Chiefs, because they'll make you suffer. They'll make you struggle. And then what Mahomes does, he comes around and he'll just throw like a 70-yard back foot throw to Tyreek Hill and catches it. And we've seen that. Was it spectacular? Yeah. I mean, it's Mahomes. But we've seen him do this before. And sometimes it goes both ways. He did it last year when he was playing against the Miami Dolphins, and he had 3 picks. Remember that? When he's trying to do those razzle-dazzle. Yeah, they end up winning that game, but he almost cost the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he does the little razzle-dazzle, but yet this one worked in his favor. Took a chance, went to Tyreek Hill. He trusts all his receivers. He's already said, I trust all my right receivers. I try that core. I know when I throw the ball, they're going to get it. But I believe the Cleveland Browns, with the talent that's loaded on that team, can beat the Chiefs. They just need to believe they can beat the Chiefs. And the Chiefs know that. The Chiefs know, like, wow, this Cleveland Browns team, they got us on notice. Like, we need to really think about this. Like, I don't think we can beat these guys. But if we do, we have to play clean football, just like the Browns. The Browns have to play clean. If the Browns play clean football and can come up with one turnover that goes in their favor, they win the game. Absolutely, 100%. And they'll meet again. They'll see each other again in the playoffs. They will. Guarantee it. But before they get that, we have to get to week 2. And who do the Kansas City Chiefs got coming up? That's right. The Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And we've seen Jackson versus Mahomes over the years. And it's been a great, exciting game. We've seen him in the rain. We've seen him in the sun. We've seen some crazy games between these two teams. And I know the Baltimore Ravens are going to be pissed. They had that win against the Raiders. They had it. And it just slipped through their fingers. And I know that Lamar Jackson was pissed, especially on himself, because a lot of people are like, did Lamar Jackson cost that game? Well, he did turn over the ball 3 times. You're kind of reckless with that ball, guy. Like, you got to tuck that in a little bit. You got to tuck it in, man. But as a team, effectively, collectively, you guys just let off the gas, and you guys lost. That was it. Now you get the Kansas City Chiefs playing on a short week, going on at least it's at home, but it's still a tough challenge. But I believe Lamar Jackson will keep it close, but not close enough, as the Chiefs will possibly pull away from this game, and they'll win 33-34-27 over the Ravens. And then, like I said, Monday night, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions. Give me the Packers. Give me 34-20 over the Detroit Lions. I'm really excited about my week. My week two predictions. I feel like a lot of confidence. I forgot what numbers were from last week. I think I was 8-7. I think I was, you know, almost tendering around 500. So I like my team's picks this week. We'll see what happens. But I just think that the teams that need to come out about how they need to start to really get into shape of like, okay, are we going to do, you know, these teams that went to the playoffs last year, are we going to start getting them going or not? We're going to find out, because some of these teams that went 0-1 that made the playoffs last year, like the Titans, the Packers, even the Ravens, they can't afford to go 0-2. But unfortunately, two of the three teams most likely will. Chicago Bears, yeah. I think Chicago Bears got because of the fact that we went to 7 playoff teams last year. That's one reason why they got in. So I don't even consider the Bears to be in a playoff contention this year, whether Andy Dalton is the quarterback or Justin Fields or whoever. So, but let's get into some fantasy football and talk about who I like for my starts and sits this week. And then I'm going to talk about who I like for, and I have this little segment I call the money in the bag, okay? So this week, I was looking at the teams, looking at matchups. I'm not going to give you your automatic, like, play Devontae Adams and Nick Chubb. Yeah, of course you're going to play those guys. I'm going to go after the players, especially for, like, if you're two quarterback or what have you, wide receivers in the flex or in depth positions, as well as, you know, running backs that you might need that might be on waiver wires or might be on your bench. You're thinking, contemplating, like, do I play them? Do I not play them? So let me start off with the quarterbacks, okay? Here are my strong starts, okay? Justin Herbert, who just came off against a great game against the Cowboys, against Washington, gets a hurt Cowboys defensive line front now with Lawrence being out. I like him against this week. I think he's got a great matchup. Plug in Justin Herbert. Give me Matthew Stafford. I love him against going that Colts pass defense. Give me Joe Burrow against, because the Rams, they got exposed. That Raheem Morris defense-led defensive backfield got exposed last week, okay? On the pass side, okay? The only problem is you're playing against Andy Dalton, so it helped you get that victory. And not to mention that you actually have Matthew Stafford on the other side as your quarterback to make things a little easier. But you could pass on this Rams defense. You can't. I mean, on the Chicago defense. I mean, give me Joe Burrow against them. Give me Baker Mayfield against Houston. I mean, do I need to really say anything? And then give me Big Ben as my sleeper against the Las Vegas Raiders. So these are my guys. I'm going with Herbert, Stafford, Joe Burrow against the Chicago Bears, Mayfield against Houston, Roethlisberger against Las Vegas. Give me those guys. I like those guys. Those are the ones I'm thinking about. If you're looking for someone you're trying to like, if you're looking for a streamer, give me Teddy Bridgewater. He's got Jacksonville. I mean, he dropped over 260 yards and 2 touchdowns against a tough giant secondary. And now he gets to go against a Jacksonville backfield. We saw what Tyrod Taylor did last week. So if you're looking for a streamer this week, that's a guy you want, or a quarterback. So those are the guys I like. In terms of my sits this week, I'm going to go Kirk Cousins. I'm not looking forward to that. Jameis Winston, not because I don't think Carolina has a tough defense. I just think that they're a run-first team. So it's all Kamara, and then after that. I mean, he proved it last week when he played against the Packers, where he only passed for under 200 yards but had 5 scores because of, like I said, turnovers. So Jameis Winston, I would say temporary expectations. They'll still win the game. I'm benching Tua. I'm not liking him against Buffalo. Jimmy G, it's hard to trust him. I mean, he lit up the Lions. But the Eagles, they kind of flexed a little bit against Atlanta. And I think they're at home. They're going to be away, and I think they're going to run the ball because we all know the 49ers are a run-first team, so I'm not going to go with them there. And, of course, Derek Carr against Pitt. I mean, crap. I mean, that's a tough defense. I mean, the Steelers defense is going to suffocate Derek Carr. So I'm going to sit Derek Carr this week as well. So those are my guys. In terms of my running backs this week, strong starts. James Robertson. I like him against Denver. Because I think he's pretty much the only offensive weapon that Jacksonville team has. So he might get some, like, some garbage time yards, maybe a garbage time touchdown. So I'm going to go with James Robinson. I still like Tyson Williams. I think he does well against Kansas City. I think he's gonna because let's be real here. I know that Lamar Jackson's QB1, RB1, RB2, whatever you want, but he's gonna need some help in the running back. And I feel like they kind of got away from the run game a little too early against the Las Vegas Raiders because he was lighting up the Raiders in the first half. I wish it didn't go away from him. I know fantasy owners were not happy about that, even though he probably helped some teams win, but there was room for more in that second half. And I feel like they're going to try to run against the Kansas City Chiefs because they don't want their defense to get exposed by that Kansas City team. They're going to try to keep Mahomes and that arsenal off the field and try to control clock. But we'll see what happens. But I'm going to say Tyson Williams is a strong start this week. Give me Chase Edmonds. I know last week him and James Conner had even splits at 19 apiece in terms of, like, offensive plays. But James Conner sucks. Like he looks no good in that Arizona backfield. Just play Chase Edmonds. He's awesome. He's a reliable RB2. I mean, we saw with the Vikings, they struggled with Mixon playing him last week. So give me Chase Edmonds. Like I said, give me Elijah Mitchell. I like him this week as well. I think he's going to do really well. I know that he's the starting running back, but we don't know how long that lasts, okay? I really don't know how long that lasts because Trey Sermon is still there. He was inactive for week one. Maybe he starts, he might split carries with Elijah Mitchell. Maybe Elijah Mitchell takes a hit last week if Trey Sermon was activated. We'll find out. But he makes sense in the short term until Jeff Wilson comes back. That's week 7, week 8. If you're trying to get a running back and you can have an IR spot, go ahead and get Jeff Wilson Jr., stash him on your team, put him on your injured reserve, and just let him sit there because it costs you nothing. And by the time he comes back, he's going to take that second half, and he's going to take his role to the playoffs like he did last year for most players. I also like Devin Singletary. There's a lot of holes that you can run against that Dolphins team. It was exposed last week. I like him this week. So I think he's a good start. And he showed grit against a tough Steelers defense. Start like a real tough start. So I like Devin Singletary. And I go back and forth, but give me Jamal Williams. I like what the Lions are doing. I like what they're doing with this 1-2 punch with Swift and Williams. I mean, both these guys were like RB1, RB4, RB2, RB4 last week with the yardage that they had. I mean, Anthony Lynn did a great job, and we saw what he's done when he was with the LA. Saw what he did with Austin Eckler. Melvin Gordon is doing the same thing with the Lions. And with the Packers, super vulnerable against the run. So he's going to be super busy to compliment him, compliment Swift. Might be a flex play. Might be a flex play because what we all know is that the Lions are not good defensively. So what they're going to try to do is a lot like what Baltimore is going to do. They're going to try to run the ball, control the clock, and try to keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. And that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what the Saints did last week. And boom. I'm not going to say they're going to win. I'm just telling you that this is going to be the strategy. So we'll see what happens. So I like those guys. Weaker starts, like someone I'm not feeling Josh Jacobs against Pitt. I think he's not. I mean, if you're going to get anyone, get Kenyon Drake. I think that's more of a plug and play for the flex appeal. Josh Jacobs, I mean, he was really valuable only when they got to a goal line presence. When they were inside the zone or like in the 5-yard line, that's where he got his touchdowns. But he's dealing with that foot injury. I don't know how bad that foot injury is, but I don't feel comfortable with it. So I'm not really comfortable using Josh Jacobs this week. If you really feel like you need to get someone in that PPR role, whatever, Kenyon Drake would be my guy because he looked a lot more explosive than Jacobs did last week against Ravens. So I'm going with him. Mike Davis going against that vaulted Tampa Bay line. I just think he's going to have an awful day. He didn't look that great. I think Cordell Patterson looked better than Mike Davis. And I've been tooting Mike Davis for like the last couple of weeks. Like, he's going to be an RB1. You know, Arthur Smith is going to make him his proto. You know, he's going to make him his back, and he's going to feature him the primary focus in that Atlanta Falcons offense. He didn't look that great last week against Eagles. What do you think Tampa Bay is going to do to you? Nah, dude, I'm good. Myles Gaskin is another one I'm going to bench. I just going against Buffalo. We saw what I mean. They
kept Najee Harris in check last week, and I think they're going to do the same thing this week against Myles Gaskin. Darrell Henderson's going against Indy. I don't like the run game for the Rams this week against Indy. I like the pass. I like Matthew Stafford and those receivers around him. I like Kupp. Give me Tyler Higbee. Give me Robert Woods. I'm going with that trio over the run game. So I'm going to – he's going to have like a kind of game, whatever. And then you have Mark Ingram. I'm benching him. I know that Mark Ingram had 80-something yards, 80 yards, what have you, in a touchdown last week. He was pretty much the lead back in terms of that trio between him, Lindsey, and Jacob, and David Johnson. I think it was 19-7-2 in terms of carries. So right now he shows that he's the lead back, but like if there's anyone you want to take a flyer on, it's probably Mark Ingram, but I wouldn't play him this week against that tough Cleveland Browns defense. I'm just not going to go against that line. So I feel like he's going to not do anything there as well. So those are the guys in terms of running backs that I feel like you should kind of stay away from this week. In terms of wide receivers, give me Juju. I think Juju's going to have a great game this week. Great game against the Las Vegas Raiders. I think the passing game for the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to wake up this weekend. I know you got Seifel last week, but hey, you went against a tough, tough Buffalo team. Guess what? You're going to ride that ship. You're going to get right now. Big Ben, who I told you is one of my streaming quarterbacks this week. He's a good guy. You know, these wide receivers between Claypool, Deontay Johnson is probably going to have the best game of the three. Juju is more or less a PPR machine. And then Claypool is going to kind of get his yards in. I like all three of those wide receivers. Start them all with confidence. Don't have any issues, whatever. Then you got Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown he's just in sync with Tom Brady. Of course you're starting great. Starting Evans, and you're starting Gronk, and you're starting Godwin. I get that. But you can't ignore Antonio Brown and what he did in week one. You have to have him at least at your wide receiver three, if not flex position this week against Atlanta. He's going to stay hot this week. He's going to continue on. Brandon Cooks was one of my picks for last week for somebody you need to harness on. I'm saying Brandon Cooks is going to take advantage of high volume because there's him and there's no one else. Taylor trusts him. He goes to Brandon Cooks. Does he go against a tough Cleveland defense? Yeah, he does. But he's going to get garbage time yards. He's going to get maybe a touchdown. And we saw what happened to Cleveland last week. You can throw on them. I'm not saying that Tyrod Taylor is Pat Mahomes. I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is Tyreek Hill. But Cooks is fast. Underneath routes, whatever, he's going to get yards. He's going to get yards. So I would have him at the flex play if you have him. And then there's Tyler Boyd. He was quiet last week. But I'm going to play him this week. I think that he's going to get fits, especially coming out of the slot. I think Boyd is a good start this week. And then I'm going to go Jarvis Landry. No OBJ this week again because he's still healing from a knee injury. He's the only passing wide receiver on that team. Besides Njoku and Austin Hooper, I know that the Browns are going to run the ball. I know the Browns are going to run the ball. But Jarvis is going to get his yards. He's going to get his volume. He's going to get his. So expect him to get his. So I'm starting Jarvis Landry. Give me Corey Davis. I like Corey Davis as well. Give me Marquise Brown. Because we saw what Marquise Brown did last week. Him and Sammy Watkins went at will at the Raiders. And then you get it against the Chiefs. They're going to throw on the Chiefs because that's the only way they can. That's the only way you're going to stay in this game. And then I got a sleeper here. And it's Nelson Aguilar. I think that he's a great flex option against a matchup that rocks for him. So give me him. And I'm going to save one player for a little segment I got coming up in a minute. But let's talk about some of our sits. I'm not playing Julio Jones because he didn't show me anything last week. And he should be because he should be pissed after his coach just threw him under the bus. Talking about like that when they were the third and one and it was third and one and they had a chance, they scored. And then like he did a bonehead move and they moved him back 13-6 because it was just a penalty. And Mike Vrabel called him out on it. But a dumb blank, you know what, move, whatever. So I don't know what it looks like in Titan country with – or that Titans-like organization between Vrabel and And Julio, I don't know if Julio's pissed or whatever, but I'd be pissed, but I don't see him doing anything this week. I just don't. I think it's going to be a lot of A.J. Brown. I think Derrick Henry's going to rock the boat this week. I think it's going to be a run game by Derrick Henry. Tannehill will do what he needs to do, but, like, I really believe it's going to be Derrick Henry leading this charge against the Seahawks. I don't like Robbie Anderson against New Orleans. New Orleans just stifled Devontae Adams last week. Lattimore just got a new contract. I'm not even playing him. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, don't even ask me. I mean, he's in the doghouse. Courtland Sutton. I mean, he didn't show much after his knee coming off a knee injury. I like Tim Patrick over Courtland Sutton. I like Hamler. If I had to go any of them, I would probably go Tim Patrick because the guy's a baller. He's gonna play through this. He's gonna play at the slot at 6'3". I mean, he's a big boy. But I'm gonna go. I got my reservations about Courtland Sutton this week. I think it's gonna be a lot of dose of, of Devontae Williams, and it's gonna be a little Melvin Gordon, who actually had a great game against the Giants last week. So I'm gonna bench Courtland Sutton this week, even though he's got a great matchup against Jacksonville. And then I like Waddell this week. If you got Waddell, because Will Fuller comes back this week from week two. And then I'm benching all Jaguar receivers this week because you got Denver. So I'm not looking forward to that. And then I'm not starting any Colts wide receivers against the Rams, if there is one, besides Pittman. I mean, Nyheim Hines is probably the best pass-catching threat on that team. In terms of, like, my starts, tight guys I like you start this week is Gerald Everett. I like Cole Kemet. I like David Njoku. I think those are three guys you should have in your lineup if you need to stream somebody this week for tight ends. In terms of, like, sits, I'm not really looking forward to – I'm not looking at Mike Gesicki. I'm not a big fan of his. I'm not looking at Anthony Firkser. I'm not looking at Zach Ertz and Hunter Henry. Those are the guys I'm not playing this week. So those are some of the guys I want. But I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to do something different than I haven't done before. And you guys have not heard this, but it's a new segment I got. And let me just play it for you. Here we go.
Time now for Money in the Bag. It's all about the cheese, the dinero, the cash, the lettuce, the bacon, the bennies, the sawbucks, the moolah, the skrilla. It's about
money. Yeah, it's my Money in the Bag players for week two in fantasy football that will bring home the week two victory for you guys. I'm going to start off at quarterback. And I'm going to go with, and I was going back and forth, but I was like, this guy's going to bring it home. Russell Wilson going against the Titans defense. He's going to bring it home. He's going to throw for over 300 yards. Those receivers are going to have they're basically going to go at will at that defensive backfield. They're going to have their money. So that's my Money in the Bag for in terms of your so-called money in the bag quarterback for this week. In terms of my running backs, and I was going back and forth with my running backs. And I was like, who is a guy that I really feel like is going to bring it home this week? Like, who's going to bring it home? And you know who I'm going with? Melvin Gordon. That's right. He's a veteran trust factor in that Broncos backfield. He went over 100 yards against a stifling Giants defensive line. And guess what? You're going to get him this week against a Jacksonville Jaguars team? Go ahead and give me Melvin Gordon. I'm taking Melvin Gordon. In terms of wide receivers, give me Mike Williams. That's right. Mike Williams just exploded in week one. And who does he get? The Cowboys week two. Give me Mike Williams that could be burned constantly, because they only have one good corner, and that's Trayvon Diggs. And he'll be all over Allen. He'll be all over Keenan Allen. So Mike Williams is going to blow up. I've got him in two of my lineups. I'm starting him this week. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm running with it. I'm excited about it. I cannot wait. I know he's going to blow up this week. And then I'm going with Robert Tonyan. That's right. Robert Tonyan against Detroit. Because the entire offense should light it up again at home, and Tonyan will find the end zone. So those are my guys. I got Russell Wilson as my quarterback. I got Melvin Gordon as my running back. I've got Mike Williams
as my wide receiver, and I got Robert Tonyan. Those are my money of the week guys. That if you need a flex, you need to plug into your play this week, those are my guys. But I want to say thank you guys for joining me and listening to my podcast. I hope it was helpful. I hope you found it energetic. Like I said, you can find me also. You can find me on Instagram at NFL.junkie, where I do start sits. I give you, you can DM me for any advice. I post a lot of fun stuff on the page. I interact with the followers. I just love talking about football with these guys. It's a lot of fun on that page. If you have a chance, please check it out. It's NFL.junkie on Instagram. You can also find me on Twitter at Ray Dosky WNSR. I like to talk there as well. I mean, just football is one of my biggest passions. I love talking football. But like I said, I want to say thank you for joining me and checking me out. And I hope you guys have a great night and enjoy week 2.